This is the home of the U, Miami's Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, where we talk all things Canes every Sunday morning. Today's show is presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Miami's premier luxury dealership is Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Visit WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Now, the voice of the U, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our show. A pleasant good morning on this Sunday, January the 13th, 2019. Underway with 2019 Hurricanes basketball in action yesterday against Wake Forest. We'll get to that in just a moment. A busy week for University of Miami football. University of Miami head football coach Manny Diaz earlier in the week announcing Blake Baker as the Hurricanes defensive coordinator. And then on Friday, the Hurricanes under Manny Diaz announcing that former Alabama quarterback coach Dan Enos is now the Hurricanes offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. So Manny Diaz getting his coordinators lined up this week. Blake Baker, formerly of Louisiana Tech, will be the defensive coordinator for the University of Miami, and the offensive coordinator now is Dan Enos, formerly of Alabama, also spent time at Arkansas as well, a former quarterback at Michigan State, and will run a up-tempo, cutting-edge offense for the University of Miami coming up in 2019. We'll talk about football a little bit later on in the show, but first, let's talk about Hurricanes basketball. Canes off to an 0-3 start inside the ACC, played a very tough game against Florida State on the road the other night. Now, yesterday, returned home against Wake Forest. Our highlights brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac has been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years. The Canes and Wake Forest at the Watsco Center. The highlights and reaction.
High hip dribble. Flips it to Zach Johnson, to Azundu, right back to Zach Johnson. Reverses it right side. Anthony Orange finds a spot on the floor that he likes and buries a three-pointer. 3-0 Miami. Anthony Lawrence, you get into that part of the floor right there on the slot. Johnson over to Lights. Shot clock down to 7. Lights turns the corner, flips it into the corner. Mack for 3 in the air. Got it. Well done by Chris Lights, setting up Anthony Mack for the three-pointer. He came in averaging just 2.9 points per game. Lawrence right side to Lights with a shot fake, dribbles in, gets to the rim and puts it up and scores. Good job by Chris Lights. He went inside the tall trees. Jalen Hoard guarding him at 6'8", and Lights dipped around him, and Miami has tied the game at 8. Anthony Mack on the right side of the floor. Miami trails by 5, 16-11. Johnson quickly to Vasiljevic. He lets a three-pointer go and scores out of the corner. His first three of the day, and Vasiljevic now with 29 straight games with at least one three-pointer, and his 44th three-pointer of the year, which is tied for the lead in the ACC. Wardenburg to Vasiljevic, puts his head down, dribbles across the timeline. Trailing in his wake on the left side is Wardenburg. He'll take a three, good! 4 for Sam Wardenburg on his 6th three-pointer of the year. Came in shooting just 19%, and Miami back in front by 4, 24-20. Inbounds from Lawrence, left side to Zach Johnson. 8 seconds on the shot clock, Miami leads at 28-25. Johnson with 5 on the shot clock, rises up for 3, in the air, got it dead center. 31-25 Miami. The way that Buka has improved. Mack steps in, steals the ball away, trying to go coast to coast, pitches it out to Johnson, trailing in his wake for 3, no good. Azundu taps out the offensive rebound to Lights. Lights in the paint, his floater is good. What a job by Azundu, who kept that play alive and tapped it out twice. That's 8 for Lakes. And Miami reclaims the lead, 35-33. Johnson to the left elbow. Connects with Mack. Steers it to Lawrence, back to Mack. Hot potatoes at left corner. Johnson rises for 3. Dead center, bullseye. His second three-pointer of the game. Miami back up by 3, 38-35. Lakes has it for Miami. Vasiljevic is parked in the right corner. Likes to Azundu, rolling toward the basket and lays it in. An excellent feed from Likes to Azundu. Able to thread it through a tight needle for an easy bucket for Ibuka Azundu. 42-39, Miami by 3. Likes right in front of us, bounces it to Wardberg, gives it right back to Likes. Likes moves to the right, moves to the left, gets in the paint, drives into the traffic, off to Azundu, who scores. Boca went up in traffic, went up strong, 5 points in the second half. Kings lead by two, 46-44. Wardenberg lobs in for Azundu, kicks it out. Vasiljevic is wide open for three, and it's good. Nice job by Azundu. He could have laid it in, but Vasiljevic had an easy three-pointer out of the corner. A right hip-high dribble. Now dribbles between his legs. Trying to get into the paint, and he does. Slithers into the rim, no good. Wardenberg lays it up and in. Nice offensive rebound by Wardenberg. He has six in the game. 51-47 Miami. Likes with five to shoot. With four, Likes rises for three. In the air, got it! It went around three times and fell through. A three-pointer for Chris Likes. He has 13 in the game. Likes with a jitterbug move once, twice. Gets around Childress in the paint. Kicks it out to Vasiljevic for three. Yes! And a timeout, Jim Larrañaga. Miami has their largest lead of the afternoon. Cross court for Vasiljevic. 12 to shoot to Azundu. Right back to DJ for three. Good! Straight on, and he did not even ruffle the net. Six and a half for Vasiljevic, 14 in the game. Johnson across the timeline. It was Chris Likes, the executioner today. 25 points for Likes. Johnson will dribble it out, and Miami has their first ACC win of the year. Miami wins it going away. Hurricanes 76, Wake Forest 65, and that's your final score. Hurricanes win 76-65. Joined by associate head coach Chris Caputo. Congratulations. Nice to enjoy a victory.
Always good. Always good in this league.
What was the key today? What do you think the keys today were for your victory?
Well, just looking at the stat sheet, Chris Likes going 14 to 14 from the line was pretty impressive. Going into the week, we really challenged our guys defensively. I thought even in the Florida State game, they really responded defensively this week. And, to hold the team to 34%, 21% from the three-point line. And, they did have 24 second-chance points. We obviously have some size issues that are going to show up as it relates to the backboard. But, the first step is to make the teams miss. And, we hadn't been doing that going in, in the first two games. We did in spurts, but we've put together, a pretty complete defensive game in terms of forcing some, I think, difficult shots. And, while they had offensive rebound putbacks, the initial shot we made them miss, and I think that's a good step for us. And then I think we had some costly turnovers kind of in that end of the first half part of the game, and then a little bit here at the end of the game when we had a little bit more of a commanding lead. But in general, I thought we tried to share the ball. We even had some shots off really good passes that we missed the shot. But I think on film you'd say, wow, the shot quality is pretty high. They did a good job of keeping us on the perimeter in their zone in the first half. We didn't get a lot of paint touches. We settled some because of that. And again, I did think we got some good looks that we didn't convert on. In the second half, somewhere in the 15-minute mark or so, we were able to get the ball inside to Buka a few times in a row. He scored. A little bit more consistency in terms of touching the paint and getting it out, and that was key to us kind of gaining and extending the lead.
Sidebar notes, the last two games now, Likes has made 20 consecutive free throws, and you had 16 assists today, so that was good news. And then you mentioned at halftime, getting the ball to the rim more often, and you talked about Buka, but you went right to the rim to start the second half.
Yeah, and I think, again, we have a team that is a jump-shooting team, and a lot of guys comfortable taking and making threes. We can't lose the idea that at the end, those threes are always going to be better if the ball touches the paint, whether it's posted or driven or cut and catched and then thrown out. Like, you have to – all the numbers would tell you when the ball hits the paint and goes out, your percentages are going to go up. And I thought we found that somewhere in the second half.
Let's go back to Likes for a moment. 25 points today, four assists, two turnovers. It's the sixth game this year of 20 points or more. He had 28 in this building against North Carolina State. It's hard not to mention him without saying he's 5'7", so he is at a disadvantage. But he is scoring at an amazing rate. I'm not sure that people are picking up on how much this kid is scoring.
Yeah, and, you know, he drives us crazy. He drives everybody crazy. But, you know, the guy is a dynamic offensive player. He's a great shooter. He's got incredible speed. I do think he plays to win. I think this being the first year where it's sort of – there's a lot of onus on him, and some of it obviously is the circumstance. But I think he's handling himself well. He's getting better every day. And, you know, the good news is, you know, I think he's learning – by playing, but also learning by having some success. So, you know, you learn from your losses. You can learn from your wins, too. You know, you can learn when things are maybe going poorly, for sure, and you can learn when things are going well. So, you know, we'll take things back for him, and I'm sure he'll pick some things up that, you know, that we can build upon. But he's such a dynamic, exciting player. I mean, if a guy like that doesn't fill the stands, you know, he's one of those guys you'd probably pay to watch, you know. As coaches say, I'd pay to watch the guy. He can be a guy you'd pay to watch at times.
I know habits are hard to break, and he's got some habits that you guys are working on. You're going to try to mentor him on some things that maybe he wants to arm wrestle. But 25 points.
His usage, like, he's getting assists. He's getting opportunities for his teammates. You know, in addition to the assists, I think he's doing a really good job. Again, he's got the good news is, He's got a lot of growth, and I think he's a willing learner. And I think, you know, for him going forward, his career, I think he's got a very bright future because he's got the skill and speed that you really can't teach.
Ibuka Zundu, 11 points, 11 rebounds. Did his best to stay out of foul trouble, had four.
Yeah.
But he's really battling and, you know, looking very, very comfortable. He looked comfortable today catching the ball in the post and rolling to the basket.
Yeah, I thought he was terrific. I thought him and Sam were a really good combination. We really got a good, nice game out of Sam. He had 9 rebounds, 6 points, 3 assists, no turnovers. Ibuka and Sam were a really good combination from the plus-minus standpoint together at the 4-5. And against teams that play two bigger guys, a lot of times we're going to have to find a way to keep those two on the floor together at the 4-5. And so, you know, Buka's been the model of consistency, and I think Sam had now, you know, a really good game.
Anthony Mack gave you a career-high 9 points today. He wasn't afraid to pull the trigger.
No, he's another really willing learner. He's a guy who's really, really interested in, you know, trying to get better every day. He's constantly asking questions, coming out. I think he's going through, you know, a lot of these things for the first time as a freshman at this level. It's probably can be overwhelming, but he's done some nice things. I like our group. I think we know, you know, what our issues are, and so much of it is depth-related, but I think we've got a lot of guys that are trying to play the right way and care about each other, care about the program, care about the university, you know, trying to represent the university and play very, very hard and as well as they can every night. And really, I thought we had that in the first 3 games, to be honest. I mean, you know, when you're taking leads on teams that are in the top 25 or in really difficult road environments, I thought we've given great effort in these first 4 games. There's no moral victories. But I do think, you know, you don't have to look in the locker room and say, hey, are these guys, you know, playing for Miami? Yeah, they're playing for Miami. They're trying to win.
All right, before I let you go, now, next up, you got the time off. You don't play again until a week from today. But Murderers Row is coming up. I guess it's always Murderers Row in this conference.
Yeah.
But you got North Carolina, Syracuse, and Florida State again.
Yeah, you know, I really don't even pay attention, to be honest with you, of who we have other than the next game. Because it could drive you crazy. If you talk about people with, you know, taking anxiety, medication, that would give me anxiety.
By the way, Louisville beat Carolina.
Yeah, I heard, yeah. So, you know, Louisville goes up and loses at Pitt and then wins at Carolina. And they were probably, you know, thinking maybe, you know, the other game would have been an easy. But there's no easy games. It doesn't matter where you play or who you're playing. So, you know, we got a little bit of time to heal up, a little bit of time to work on some things. And you know, this is a really good rebounding team here tonight that we played. And we're going to play, you know, the historically best rebounding program ever next week. So got to figure out some solutions as to how to keep them off the glass. And again, it starts with making the miss and then trying to figure out how to come up with the ball.
All right, very good. Enjoy this one. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe.
Our associate head coach, defensive coordinator Chris Caputo, joining us as the Hurricanes win here today over Wake Forest 76-65.
That's the way it sounded yesterday at the Watsco Center. Canes will be off for about a week. Next Saturday at home, the Canes will take on North Carolina at the Watsco Center. We'll talk more basketball on the Hurricane Hotline tomorrow night with Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. When we come back, we'll hear from Hurricanes athletic director Blake James. That's straight ahead right here on Hurricanes Weekly on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Happy to welcome you back to Hurricanes Weekly on this Sunday, January the 13th, 2019. Our show brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac. Experience the new generation of Cadillac, like the new 2018 Cadillac Escalades, the XT5s, the CT6s, and the first ever 2019 Cadillac XT4 in stock and ready for delivery today. Earlier this week, we had a chance to talk about the state of the University of Miami Athletic Program with Hurricanes Athletic Director Blake James.
Manny Diaz, now your head coach, and now that you've had a week to reflect on it, what's it been like for you?
Obviously, it was a whirlwind of a day, but Mark put our football program into a better spot in his 3 years. Obviously, he decided it was time for him to be done and for us to be able to, bring back Manny to lead the program. It's going to give us an opportunity to continue to grow our program, and I think we have even greater days ahead for anyone who loves Hurricane football.
Yeah, I was at the Hex Center this morning after we got back from Louisville and saw Coach Diaz, and he just has so much energy, and I think that energy is contagious throughout the building.
No, it really is. And again, having the chance to be around Manny for the last 3 years and just watch him as the defensive coordinator and the leader that he is, that energy is going to be reflected in our entire program and team, and I'm excited about what it means for the future. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of he still has a lot of work to do. He's putting together his defensive staff, which has come together, and the offensive staff will still come together. I think all that and the recruiting leads you to an exciting offseason.
No, it really will be. Again, as you know, and I think most of the listeners probably know, recruiting's going to start back up here in the next few days, and we'll push it right to the very end there, and signing day in February, and then from there, it's a short time, and you're into spring ball, and before you know it, we're taking on the Gators up there in Orlando. And just again, it'll be a busy time, it'll be exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing the entire process, whether it's through recruiting into spring ball, and obviously to everyone loves game day, and nothing more exciting than that.
While you've been in Santa Clara, I guess one of the big discussions has been the college football playoff. Do you anticipate any changes? What were those discussions like this weekend?
We didn't talk a lot about change. I'll say so. I guess just giving my opinion, I think I don't know if there's a lot of energy to leave from four. I think I could probably convince. Six is the right number when you look at, you have maybe five conference champions and then one at large, whoever that might be. But at the same time, you don't want to take away the value of the regular season. I mean, right now, every week means a ton in college football, and I think it's one of the neat things about college football that every game matters. And I would personally hate to see us ever go away from that. With that said, I know there's pressure by some, maybe some in the media. And some of his fans that want to see a bigger tournament, and I understand some of their arguments as well, but I'll always take the position that we need to do all we can to keep the regular season as games that mean something every single week and that people are excited to come out and watch you play, whoever it is.
I can get us to an 18 playoff real fast. I'm just partially stealing your idea. I would just use the four New Year's Day bowl games, and then after that you pick two teams. A plus one.
How about that? Get right there. You got 18 playoff, and of course, only two are going to survive after the four after in the Joe Z scenario. But it's the old plus one theory.
Yeah, no, and again, I think there are a number of different options, and obviously, you just touched on the bowl game and the long term relationships we've had with those entities and all that they've done for college football. I mean, you look at the Orange Bowl and the significant impact it has in our community and all it's meant for the college football. And so I think everything we do needs to be conscientious of what's happened in the past, how have we gotten to where we are, and then how do we best position it for the future.
In all seriousness, I did see Commissioner Swofford earlier today on television talking about the college football playoff has been, he equates it to one of the best startups of all time in terms, I guess, maybe it being sort of a mini company, but he called it a great startup. And obviously it has been, I think, very, very successful.
No, it's an incredible run. And the interest and excitement has been great. And, in all honesty and, credit to those two programs, we probably haven't had as many programs involved as people would have thought when we started up. Clemson and Alabama have both been on amazing runs when you think about it. And so, over time, I think we'll see a number of different teams in it. It's gone great so far, and I think, again, I think it only gets better in the future. And, again, what does that mean? Is it four? Is it six? You said eight. Who knows where we'll go, but it's something that there is tremendous passion in our country for the sport of football and obviously college football, and hopefully all the decisions we do continue to keep it in that great light.
We have another hurricane in the College Football Hall of Fame. Former coach Dennis Erickson goes into the College Football Hall of Fame, so that's great news to see another University of Miami coach into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, what a great day to have Dennis announced today. It's obviously exciting. We'll look forward to celebrating that next fall, and then with the ceremony there in New York in December. I think, Joe, I probably should plan on a lot of celebrations over the coming years. As you know, we've had so many greats that are on the ballot right now to be a part of the College Football Hall of Fame that I struggle to think how we're not going to have just a ton of guys going in the coming years, but we'll see what the voters think, and obviously those are things that we'll celebrate as they happen, but a special day for Dennis, one of our great coaches, just did some incredible things while he was here, and I'm glad that the college football world recognized it.
He was a pretty good golfer. I don't know who has the better golf game, you or him.
Well, I'm not a good golfer, so if he's a pretty good golfer, then it's definitely him. I have fun, and I like to go out and socialize and enjoy the beauty of the course and the outdoors, but I wouldn't put me in the good golfer category. So I haven't played with Dennis, but I would trust you saying he's good. So if he's good, definitely gonna have to make sure he gives me some shots before playing.
Yeah, I can see hoodwinking going on here. Are you spending time in Santa Clara? But it won't be long before Miami is the host city for the championship game, which will be Hard Rock Stadium, which is also the home to the Miami Hurricanes. And I think to a certain extent, that also has to be a nice recruiting tool to whether their kids are local or national, that the stadium you play in is also going to be the stadium where a national championship game is going to be played in.
Oh, yeah. Again, when you look at Super Bowl, the college football championship, the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Hurricanes, you can't play in a better spot. And again, credit to Stephen Ross and what the Dolphins have done there to really enhance the fan experience. So not only the best games played there, but it's created one of the best atmospheres in all of football. And so we're excited to have our games there. Obviously, it'll be great to have the college football championship when that time comes. The Super Bowl, I know, is coming. And again, it's a great place. And like you said, Joe, if you were a young kid, why would you want to play anywhere else?
Yeah, I saw the commissioner of the Big 12, Bob Bowlsby, at the Orange Bowl game. Now, at the time, they were trailing 28-0, Oklahoma was. But he did say how impressed he was with Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, no, it is. It's and obviously, Oklahoma came back and made that a much better game after a slow start. But it's just an impressive place. And, again, we're honored to have it as our home and really enjoy it.
All right, well, it won't be long. Yes, we've already kicked off a season ticket campaign, and I'm sure with the enthusiasm of Coach Diaz, that's going to catch on to Hurricane fans as well. And heck, it's January. I think next month, most likely, right? The ACC releases the schedule. That'll probably be the next big thing. But season tickets, you're going to start up that campaign, correct?
Oh, yeah. Season tickets have already started. We got our deadline coming on January 31st. We've gotten a great response. Obviously, with Coach Diaz, there's even more excitement. I encourage people to purchase their season tickets right away if they haven't already. Again, we'll have an incredible atmosphere out there at Hard Rock Stadium.
When we come back on Hurricanes Weekly, we'll talk Miami Hurricanes defense with new defensive coordinator Blake Baker. But first, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac has been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years. And through those years, it's been their pleasure serving this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. Experience the new generation of Cadillac, like the new 2018 Cadillac Escalades, XT5s, CT6s, and the first ever 2019 Cadillac XT4 in stock and ready for delivery today. Visit their state-of-the-art facility conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway. If you want to add some luxury to your life for 2019, if that's going to be one of your goals for 2019, then I highly recommend and suggest Williamson Cadillac. You can check out their entire inventory online at williamsoncadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Back on Hurricanes Weekly, Sunday, January the 13th, 2019. Hurricanes basketball will have the next couple of days off, back in action next Saturday against North Carolina. Our show brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami. This week, University of Miami head football coach Manny Diaz announced that Dan Enos will be the Hurricanes offensive coordinator and Blake Baker will be the Hurricanes defensive coordinator. We had a chance to talk with Blake Baker on coming to Miami as the Hurricanes' new defensive coordinator.
The University of Miami has a new defensive coordinator, and we are pleased to bring on for the first time new University of Miami defensive coordinator Blake Baker. Coach, welcome to South Florida. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the job. Let's talk about it a little bit. Why is the University of Miami the right spot for you? Why was it such an exciting opportunity?
Well, I think first off, it starts with, you know, the people. Obviously knowing Coach Diaz for 8 years now, this is something that we've always talked about, and it's always kind of been a dream of ours. You know, one day hopefully him getting a head coaching spot and able to bring me along, and then having a previous relationship with Coach Banda and Coach Packy definitely helped. But, you know, besides that, obviously, you know, the type of reputation and the type of school that the University of Miami is, you know, all together. And then, you know, the third part is for national championships. You know, those are goals that you have in mind when you aspire to get into this profession, and that's something that can be attainable here.
How about the influence that Coach Diaz has had on you and some of the ideas, some of the things that you guys, in terms of football, in terms of the way you think about football, the things that you share?
I think philosophically, I think we definitely share the same philosophy when you talk about an attacking style of defense that wants to create confusion for a quarterback and be physical and violent in nature and get the football away from the offense. I think we share those ideas. We share similarities in the way we want to attack an offense. I'm blessed to learn a lot from him as a graduate assistant and kind of carry that over when I had the opportunity to run my own show at Louisiana Tech. And both of us have evolved in different ways, and I'm excited to get back in the film room and kind of talk about, you know, how we want to continue to evolve this game of football. It's it's made for offenses to score points nowadays, and you got to continually to improve your craft and evolve overall, and I'm excited to get in the film room and do that with them.
Yeah, that is a couple of things to talk to you about in terms of that, being a defensive coordinator in college football today. Creating havoc. That's what Coach Diaz likes, creating havoc. I guess that, you know, what kind of identity will the Miami defense have? I suppose you would say create havoc, create negative plays.
Absolutely. I think that's the name of the game. You got to get the offense behind the chains and get them in the negative yardage situations. And then, you know, on third down, really attack. And you know, that's obviously when you know a team's dropping back to throw the football, you know, the percentage of taking the football away is significantly higher. So you got to get them in the negative yardage situations on first and second down and hopefully take the football from them on third down.
What do you see, and maybe some of the things you guys talk about, this is probably the time of the year to talk about it, right, is you put your periscope up trying to look for the next trend in college football. And I call these offenses the equalizer offenses. Some of the stuff that you see out there today, the way they try to spread you out or put the defense on your heels, the RPOs, taking advantage of the rules and all of those things. What do you see as some of the ways to combat that? I know it's a couple of things you just mentioned, but it is a big challenge to try to combat teams moving the football until they get down near the red zone. Then you really got to buckle down.
Right. I think that, you know, there's multiple ways to really attack them. I think, you know, trying to make things look maybe exactly the same pre-snap or even trying to change the look pre-snap. You know, there's obviously those two components to it. I think you see more man-to-man coverage, probably more so than you have in the past for all the RPO, all the conflict games. That's what they're trying to do. They're always trying to put a zone defender in conflict. So you see more man-to-man, I think, nowadays maybe than you did 5-10 years ago. But you also want to be able to give our kids something that they're able to, you know, physically and mentally able to do, and then demand they do it. And I think when you do that and you force aggression upon an offense, you know, they're more apt to make mistakes. So I think you have to stay aggressive. I think if you sit on your heels and wait for an offense to be able to read your conflict defender, or really, I think they can really pick you apart if you just sit back there and run the same defense and run the same call and play soft coverage. The offenses are too good, you know, and especially going all the way down to high school and junior high and youth football, there's so much more emphasis on throwing and catching, where, you know, maybe 20 years ago, team couldn't complete a hitch, you know, right, 10 yards down the field and score. Well, nowadays, it's a lot more common.
Yeah, I just think along what you said, somehow you got to force an offense to play on a 100-yard field or 110-yard field or whatever, wherever they get the ball, you got to add 10 or 15 yards to it by creating negative plays.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Hurricanes defensive coordinator Blake Baker is with us. Mentioned Coach Bonda, Coach Patke, your relationship with those guys, and Coach Diaz. That's got to be fun, and also it's got to be important to the chemistry of your staff.
Yeah, I think it's vital. I think it's one of the most underrated things in college football is staff camaraderie. You know, I say all the time, there's 100 set of eyes on us as coaches, and I've been blessed to be around a bunch of staffs that really get along, but obviously it was a no-brainer with you know, the history that the four of us have together, and I think it's important for the kids to see we're all pulling in the same direction. We all have the same goal in mind, and we're doing it, and it's fun for the kids to be around. When we're having fun, they're going to have fun. So I think that's something that sometimes gets you know, kind of missed in college football, with the pressures to win and the pressures to succeed. And I know it's not always going to be, you know, fun and giggles, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it's still a game, and you got to have fun doing it. You know, we have the kids up here enough where if it's not fun for them, they're going to be miserable when they come up here. So it's something that we definitely try to emphasize as well.
Yeah, Coach, we just had Coach Erickson on not too long here in the last segment. And he had great chemistry with his staff. Coach Johnson was here. He always called his staff his crew, my crew. And I do think that staff chemistry is important. I think it's important for your harmony, but also for your team to see it.
Yeah, we're going to call ourselves the band. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, that's good. You also have Coach Simpson, who did a great job with that defensive line this year, and Mike Rumpf with the cornerbacks. And, of course, Mike has a great knowledge of the history of the University of Miami, and the defensive backs have also played really well.
Yeah, I'm really excited, you know. Obviously, like we keep talking about, knowing these guys as far as Manny and Ephraim and Packy is the fact that they speak so highly of Coach Simpson and Coach Rumpf. I actually had a chance to meet Coach Rumpf at the coaching convention this time last year, probably a year to the day. So I got a chance to spend some time around him and really enjoyed our conversation and the way they speak about Coach Simpson. I can't wait to get in the defensive staff room and get this thing rolling, because I know that they're good men. I know they're men of character. They're men, you know, they have great leadership qualities about them, and there's no ego in our room, and that's something I think that's really important when you talk about camaraderie and getting along well together. I think we all have to be on the same page, but I also think that we all got to put our egos aside and understand that we're here for one reason, and I know those guys are already like that, so I'm very, very excited.
Blake Baker, University of Miami defensive coordinator, is with us. It's probably nice to come here to Miami also and get the news that a couple of guys, Mike Pinckney and Shaq Quarterman, have decided to come back for their senior year.
Yeah, I think they're going to make me a lot better coach right away. So I was definitely fired up about that. I know, getting around the staff some today and hearing about the type of kids they are and type of kid Zach is. And I mean, there's I think four senior linebackers that they said could play anywhere in the country and were better kids, you know, better guys off the field, great leadership quality. So I'm excited to get a chance to meet them. I think it might be good for them too, you know, and like we talked about earlier, Coach Diaz and I have such similar philosophies, but sometimes it's good to hear a different voice too. So I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to meet them and get around them and spend some time with them and really just pick the brain, get to know them from a personal level more so than X's and O's.
Coach Diaz created the striker position a year ago, worked really well for Romeo Finley, Zach McLeod in there, and Derek Smith. Is that a position that you see this defense continuing to employ?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's vital in today's game. I think, we have, like you mentioned, really, really good players there and gives kids a different role maybe in the defense. So that most certainly will continue.
Yeah, I just think you're right. You see all these offenses now with interchangeable parts. Guys are wide receivers, but they're also they have tight end bodies. All these interchangeable parts.
Right.
I guess on defense, you need some interchangeable parts as well.
Absolutely, I think like we just talked about, continuing to evolve, and I think that position it's a necessary evil, and I think that it allows you not to have to sub every time an offensive subs, especially with the tempo portion of the game, and that's why I think that position has evolved.
Recruiting kicks back up here very soon, so you'll be out on the road. What will you be looking for in future Hurricanes?
And it's funny you ask that, because that's really where we've spent most of our day today, but the one thing that the first thing we're going to look for is a high character kid, and that's something that we continue talking about today in our staff meeting. But I think the film's going to speak for itself, and I know it sounds cliche, but I do believe that you can outwork maybe a little more talented player than you are. So I use Adrian Phillips, who plays for the Chargers. He was an All-Pro this year for the Chargers in a special teams role. Just had an interception and a fumble return. We had the opportunity to coach him at the University of Texas, and phenomenal kid, and didn't get drafted because he didn't put up stupid numbers at Pro Day. But you see what he's doing, 6 years later in the NFL. So I think number one is going to have to be high character guys, and then, like I said, football is going to take care of itself. There's going to be great athletes, and that's something that Miami has always been known for. I'm not sitting here on the phone telling you we're not going to recruit great athletes, but I think high character is going to be the number one adjective when you talk about this recruiting class.
Maybe we can hijack some of your Louisiana connections. We had a couple of good Louisiana players here in the past. A guy by the name of Ed Reed, another dude by the name of Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, they're not too shabby, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we'll probably explore some. You know, obviously being in Louisiana for the last 5 years as a coach, and my wife being from there, and playing football. You know, my college days at Tulane. There's a lot of connections there, so we'll probably utilize those here in the future, I'd imagine.
Got a. You'll be out recruiting. University of Miami coach Diaz brought a new strength and conditioning coach. Do you get a chance to meet with the defense at any time when they come back? And do you leave them with an off-season message while you take care of trying to find future Hurricanes?
Yeah, I think Sunday I'll have a chance to sit down and talk to them. And I'll be honest, I haven't even had a chance to sit back and kind of reflect on everything that's happened, and also kind of what I want to present to them on Sunday. So that's something, and I want to talk to the defensive staff about that as well before we get into it. But I will get a chance, and like I said, I'm really excited to get a chance and talk to them on Sunday.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very exciting. Coach, we welcome you here to South Florida. Great to have you as a Hurricane, and wish you the best of luck. And as Coach Diaz said the other day, I guess we got like 200 and, I don't know what we're down to now, like 239 days to the Gator.
Yeah, something like that. We're looking forward to it. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. That's Hurricanes defensive coordinator Blake Baker joining us here on the show. All right, thanks so much to Blake Baker for joining us on the show, as well as Hurricanes Athletic Director Blake James. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week right here on Hurricanes Weekly on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.